I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My arm is kind of rash. Is that a rash? And I had Asian food, and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Welcome back to Definitely Dying, folks. Thank you so much for joining us on this lovely Tuesday. I'm assuming it's a Tuesday when you're listening. I'm assuming it's lovely. I mean, the reality is we record these weeks in advance. We don't know when you listen to them. But God, I hope you're having just a lovely day, whatever day of the week
or
it is.
Or night.
Yeah, or night. Yeah, or morning.
Or twilight.
That's right. I'm your boy Big Sip.
Ben just took a sip of his water, and I said, ooh, you taking a little sip?
Yeah.
And he clarified that it was a big sip.
Oh, it was a big sip, baby. So, yeah.
Your nickname in prison, Big
yeah,
Sip.
Yeah. My nickname in prison was Big Sip. As I had a reason that I was going to give. It's way too dirty for this, the beginning of our podcast.
Gross.
Maybe I'll throw it out at the end.
Okay.
Probably not.
To give you a real reason to keep listening.
Keep listening. Keep listening for the rationale behind my nickname, Big Sip, from prison. So, Madeline, what's going on with you? How's your week?
Well, great.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I made chicken.
Really?
For the first time.
You.
Me.
The world's premier fearer of chicken.
Yes, I'm the most scared of chicken. I have been for a very long time. If you guys want to hear all about it, listen to the Brandon Johnson episode.
Yeah.
Where I talk about my fears of chicken and Brandon confirms them deeply from a place of experience.
Yeah.
So that set me back already.
Sure.
I have always been scared of cooking chicken because that's always how I read about people accidentally killing their families.
No, definitely. It's a dangerous, slimy meat.
Yes.
So was it actually Brandon's advice that gave you the courage to try it out?
It was a combination of Brandon's advice, because Brandon told us that the safest way to cook chicken. And then also the fact that like my little brother, like every week in college, he would just cook a bunch of chicken in the oven, and he keeps telling me that it's very, very easy.
Yeah, it's not the hardest.
And also for a long time, I can't believe that we never talked about this on the podcast. Maybe we did. But for a long time, we had a dangerously broken oven.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think we have discussed
that. Oh, okay, okay. So our stove, our apartment didn't come with a stove, so we had to buy a stove, and we bought it from a place that sells used stoves in Burbank called Save On Appliances. We got our fridge there. Fridge still going strong. The stove, after about a year, the thermostat on the oven broke, and the oven would not only wildly fluctuate in temperature, but it would sometimes turn itself on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so like 1/4 of July, we came back to our home. It was already 97 degrees outside, and we came in and our house was insanely hot because our oven had turned itself on to 500 degrees and had been on all day. And someone came to fix the appliance and sort of said, it won't be reliable to fix it and it'll be more money than just buying a new stove maybe. I think he was saying get a new stove, but I heard it as, okay, well, only cook things that don't need to be cooked at a precise temperature and unplug your stove whenever you're not using it and live that way for 5 to 7 years until finally, after getting married and feeling some pressure to become an adult, you go to Sears and buy a new stove. Only after Ben kind of was like, I wanted to buy another used stove from the same place. He was like, that's insane. So now that we have a new oven, I was like, okay, I think I can handle chicken because I know that the temperature will be accurate. And so I got a bag of frozen chicken. I opened it up and then I used tongs to directly take the frozen chicken from the bag and put it on the baking sheet. I didn't season it because I didn't want to touch it. I simply drizzled olive oil over it and put some salt and pepper and paprika on it. No touching. Yeah. And then I put it in the oven. I cooked it for longer than the recommended amount of time. And then cut all of the chicken breasts open to check the, you know, the color. Mm-hmm. And it was fine.
Nice. Yeah. No, I mean, it's not that hard to not kill yourself with chicken. It's pretty hard to not kill yourself with chicken and have it be moist and tender.
Yeah, and like I don't and that's, care.
Yeah, so yeah, as long as you're not a stickler about a soft piece of chickeny meat. Yeah, you can live. You could live forever.
It was pretty moist too. It was like not dry at all.
Right.
It was not at all dry.
I mean, that's the thing with chicken is that the pink that a chicken is when you shouldn't be eating it is so readily apparent. If you cut the thing open, you can feel to the knife's touch when it's too rubbery, and then you don't eat that. You can see when it's pink and you don't, and it's pretty, you know. So some people would say, okay, well, in around where like the tendons are, you can see some of that like pink near the bone. Very different pink.
You can
always tell. Now, with my fear of cooking, my fear is that vegetables have always expired.
Yes,
I don't. I've yet to figure out how you determine that one to be inaccurate. Chicken.
Yeah.
Like I was going to cook a steak last night, and I just smelled it, and I was like, this might be bad. Threw it right in the garbage.
Was that some of the discount meat you got at Ralph's?
Not Ralph's, but yes, Sprouts.
Oh, Sprouts. Oh, Sprouts.
They have great meat. I have this problem where I forget to bring the groceries in from the car, and it's so hot in Los Angeles, and so I'm pretty sure, I probably shouldn't eat anything from that bag, but instead I froze it all.
Now you can't, and then it'll be hard to tell whether it's bad until it's thawed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably bad. Yeah. What are you going to do?
When do you throw it out? That's what you're going to do.
Yeah, that's true. I have so much meat in the freezer. Like, my whole freezer is meat. I eat almost no meat. What are you going to do? Throw it out.
So, but you're afraid of vegetables. So,
yeah.
So Ben and I have been cooking a lot more. Mm-hmm. We've been trying, because Ben learned to cook pretty much for the first time this year. Mm-hmm. And I'm fine at it, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I've never cooked chicken in my life, so that you can kind of understand my level of cooking from there.
Mm-hmm.
So since we've been cooking more, we've had more vegetables and things in our house. And I have the same fear, because if you Google about expired vegetables, people will really scare the shit out of you.
Oh, yeah. And I don't believe any of it, honestly. I live by it as if it's truth, but I don't believe any of it. I believe that they want you to buy vegetables once a week, so they tell you that they expire in a week. But I just can't possibly believe it, because everything else that I've ever encountered looks different when it's gone bad, and vegetables look exactly the same. Like corn, you can start to see that the kernels get a little wrinkled maybe, but I've got some zucchini in the fridge. It will look the same after one year as it does after one day. That's life with zucchini.
That's also the name of your new sitcom, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's just
you're in the house with Big Zook.
It's just you and a zucchini.
Yeah. Just sipping away.
But I recently learned not a fun fact, but a scary fact. Apparently, you're not supposed to reheat rice.
Oh yeah.
Because rice is, and I will always reheat rice. Like if I get a bunch of Indian food, I'll eat that rice for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, there's a bacteria in rice that goes away when you cook it, but comes back really fast. So if the rice has been hanging out at room temp for a while, then that bacteria can come back and puts you at a high risk for food poisoning. And it actually was kind of thrilling to learn that I've been accidentally living on the edge with rice for such a long time. It made me feel a little tough.
Sure, yeah.
But I probably will never maybe even eat rice again.
Yeah. Now, I don't think I don't think you're supposed to hold on to leftovers for a real long time. I've done it. I've done that thing, in particular in college, where you order a pizza and then you eat it for the whole week.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
Yeah, I don't think it's good. I don't. No. It's not the worst. I think this rice thing that you're talking about is specifically bad, but it can't be that good to just keep a thing cold after you've hooked it and chewed on it for a while. I mean, I take the food directly out of my mouth and put it in the refrigerator. Is that accurate to your experience with leftovers?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I never swallow anything.
No.
How I keep this body.
So if you want a body like Madeline's, cud is the answer. The answer is
if you
want
to look like you don't really exercise, but you're like a pretty naturally like decently healthy in a corn-fed Midwestern kind of way, you know, get on it.
Get on it. Chew that food. Spit it out. Put it in the fridge. Chew it again. Spit it out. Put it in the fridge.
Chew it again. Spit it out.
Big
put
sippy.
All right. So if you want to listen to our podcast, keep listening. If you want to hear Big Sippy's new single, go to iTunes and type in "put it in the fridge, chew it again."
Put it in the fridge, Big Sippy. His name's Big Sippy.
We're silly today. I like
it. Yeah, what are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do? Listen to the podcast.
Listen to the podcast for some more silly gems. Let's bring out our guest. Bring out. Let's lower our guest from the rafters.
Such a good guest today. We have Darcy Carden here with us. I improvise with her on Search History, which is every Sunday at 11 at UCB Franklin. She is also on television. She's on a great show called The Good Place, which you can see Thursdays at 8:30 on NBC. You can see her on Broad City. You can see her on a bunch of other stuff. But let's get to the interview. Darcy, thank you so much for being here.
Hi, friend.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. A thing I like about Darcy
we
and
just
I
waved yeah, on a podcast.
Darcy wave. Yeah, that silent, silent hello. That's right.
Suffering from an acute case of laryngitis. So I'll just be waving.
Yeah. Doing a lot of hand signals. Yeah.
I like your shirt.
Thank you. I actually wore it with you in mind. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I was like, Madeline will like this. We have a tendency to dress alike.
Yeah. We have very similar, I feel like a similar affinity for stripes and currently like higher necked t-shirts.
Yes. We're into crew necks.
Yeah. Crew necks are great. Yeah. The current shape of a crew neck, I feel like, is cool right
Me
now.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's not too low.
That's a crew neck.
Yeah, it's a crew neck.
Yeah. As the audience can see, that's a crew neck.
Yeah.
We have the same purse.
We have the same purse.
We wear a lot of like not loud sneakers, but like a statement sneaker.
Yeah. Like simple outfit statement sneaker,
yeah.
I would say.
So today I'm wearing a maroon crew neck with a white stripe, and I put it on being like, Madeline will like this.
Yeah. Well,
And God, I was right.
You were.
I was fucking
so right.
As our audience knows, stripes bring out the worst in me. You guys both look great. Zig, you look great too. Guys, we really threw it together today.
Yeah, we really showed up today.
Hi, Zig.
Yeah.
He waved too, you guys.
We're just a couple of waving boys. So, Darcy, we like to start our interviews with the same question each time. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think about death?
Great question.
Thank you.
I think it's a 6.
Ooh,
okay. I was going to say 5, but then the difference is like I don't think about like sickness death a lot, but I think about murder death a lot.
Oh. I am so into murder right now.
We haven't had that. We haven't gone down that path yet. We've had the one where like people are like, I think about people close to me dying. Yeah. They've had the one where I think about myself dying, but we haven't had the one where we think about life being taken.
Yeah. Right.
So let's get into it.
Yeah. Well, you had a scary apartment break and I think about it all the time.
It's funny because I feel like I went through a long chunk of my life where I had this kind of like irrational fear of being murdered.
Oh yeah.
Me
like
too.
Whether it was
when I was a kid though.
Me okay. Too.
Yeah. Mine was like probably a kid, but definitely a lot of a kid, especially like in the middle of the night. I'd wake up and I'd be like, I'm about to be murdered.
Yeah.
But
taken.
Then as I
taken.
And then as I got older, it was like this irrational fear of somebody being in my car with me.
Oh,
and I had it all the time. It was like did I go to therapy about it? I mean, if I didn't, I should have. It was like I would almost be like paralyzed with fear. And I would, you know, it was like someone snuck in the back of my car. Or I would be like, I mean, I'm giving all the murderers ideas. But, but it was like
we have a big murder.
It's our bread and butter.
We really do. Yeah.
Or it was like, a cop is going to pull me over and he's going to be a murderer, like disguised as a cop. That was before Kim Kardashian even.
Even got tricked.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, poor him.
Yeah. And then somehow I like kind of grew up and got over that, even though I feel like I held on to that for a long time. But then recently, yeah, our the month before my husband and I moved into our new place, the place like next door above us was burglarized.
Oh, no.
Which seemed like, okay, that maybe it was a fluke, but then a couple weeks later, a place down the street, same thing. And then when that was revealed, somebody else on our street was like, oh, yeah, somebody stole something out of our garage. So it was like, okay, somebody's breaking in. And it wasn't like easy break-ins. It was like a guy broke into a house. And then when the person came out of their room to be like, what's going on? He like chased him into the room and the guy had to like lock him in himself in the room and call the police. So it was like something scary.
Yeah. It's like the kind of stuff you tell yourself doesn't actually
happen.
Yeah. The kind of stuff where you're like, that's insane.
If I came out of my room being like, hey, get out of here, they would go. But this guy was like, no, I'm not going to go.
Oh, my
gosh. So then that was like the first month that Jason, my lovely husband, big ups, JJ.
Big ups, JJ.
Big ups, JJ.
Take a moment. Big ups, JJ.
Big Sippy. I adopted a nickname, Big Sippy, today.
Great.
Today.
Yeah, just today.
I'm into it.
JJ.
JJ, yeah. Big Sippy gives big ups to JJ. What was I saying? We moved in, and then it was like maybe a month of me like sleeping for an hour, you know, waking up, sitting there for 2 hours, sleeping for a half hour. Yeah. It was like lights on. I sleep with a knife under my bed. Jason sleeps with a thumper. I'd say it's like a rubber bat.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
It's going to thump you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it made specifically for protection?
I think it is. Yeah.
Ooh, you got to get so close to use a thumper. And a knife even more.
A knife is the worst idea.
Could you actually... Do you think you could actually stab someone?
I've thought about this so much. Too much. Because Jason and I have weirdly... I'm telling so many weird stories. We also were broken. Our apartment was broken into when we lived in New York.
Oh, my gosh.
Which we weren't there for, but we came home to like a... almost like comically broken into the house. Like the couch was flipped over.
Oh,
and like,
gosh.
So, you know, when that happened, we were like, we got to protect ourselves.
Yeah.
Oops. Microphone bump. Big Sippy.
Microphone bump.
Microphone bump.
Microphone bump. One, two. Big Sippy.
So I feel like for a good, 7-8 years, we've been sleeping with knives under our beds.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. But so I have definitely thought, like, could I actually do it?
Yeah.
And the answer is, a hard no.
Yeah.
I could not do it. I would like maybe throw the knife.
Yeah.
But I could not. Because then he could get the knife.
I know. And then he'd stop
me. I'm being very...
You are being very gender specific.
Yeah. But I've never in my murder fears, it's always a guy.
It's always a dude.
Yeah.
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 Let's face it.
It's always a big sip.
It's always a big sip.
Whoa. Wait, guys. Wait a second. You guys imagine it's going to be me that breaks into your home, chases you into a bedroom, and then runs off with your knife after you throw it at me? Yeah, it does sound like me. Shoe fits.
It just checks out. And then I kind of got over it. But occasionally, like, I'll park my car down the street or something, and I'm like... I'm going to be murdered. Yeah, there's just, I just think about it a lot.
I think that house thing that you mentioned, moving into a new home, is interesting to me. It's something I talk about in regards to other things, which is that that we will frequently think that we've gotten over something, but we just aren't in that situation any longer.
Yeah,
and I've noticed, like, every time I move into a new place, I'm terrified of my surroundings for a while.
Yeah.
In the same way that, like, you would think as a child you would. Yeah. But, like, some friends of mine back in Michigan where I'm from are in the process of moving into a new home, and they're renovating the place. And they were mentioning that their 4-year-old daughter was adjusting to the place better because she didn't move immediately into a new home. She could go and, like, visit this place and feel better about it.
Yeah.
But I just think new things are terrifying, and we just forget about it as adults.
Until we're, like, put in that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're totally right.
And then eventually one of them's going to murder us. Yeah. One new thing will murder you.
But then we'll stop worrying
about it. We'll be better.
Yeah.
I've been listening. I've been, like, learning a lot about the Manson murder.
I love when people go through that Manson phase.
Yeah.
I've never gone through it, but I know everybody around me has.
I was going to say you gotta, but
no,
maybe you don't. It'll make you more scared, I think.
I know, but it does. It was one of those things where I am a little bit of a fraidy cat, and Jason, big ups, JJ.
Yeah.
he loves to do the, like, you know, the, like, D deep dives on the Mansons and the everything awful.
Yeah.
And it'll kind of be like a little, like what you would do with like a, are you going to see this movie? No.
Yeah.
Okay, well then I can tell you about it. Like he almost spoils me on like, he'll give me a, like a Manson spoiler.
Yeah.
So he was listening to the podcast that everybody listens to and he read the book that everybody reads.
You must remember, I want to, this podcast, I'm shouting out to it like it needs a shout out,
well,
but I just.
If somebody's listening to this and they didn't know.
You got to listen to a podcast called You Must Remember This. It's about Hollywood history, but there's an amazing 12-part series that, on the Manson murders.
That people get obsessed with.
I was fully obsessed
with
it.
Just go for
it. It's so great.
But Jason gave me a big like play-by-play.
Okay,
which was which actually just interested me. I was like, oh, maybe I could handle this.
Well, it's very interesting because he was basically, I mean, he was like crazy and obviously like in and out of prison, and he had this whole like crazy criminal part of his brain. But then like there was a whole part of his story where he was just like a disillusioned Hollywood guy who wanted to be a rock star and had been like burned by like too many empty promises.
Yeah.
And then he was like, well, I'm going to murder a bunch of people.
This is so weird. But my growing up, well, I said that weird. I was going to say growing up, my dad, and you would think I meant my, let me start this over, but don't edit this out.
Okay. We absolutely won't.
We never do.
So my dad had a music magazine when I was growing up is what I meant.
Yes.
So like in the 80s and the 90s and the 70s. Not that I was alive in the 70s, guys. Please. but it was this like rock and roll music magazine. And I guess long story short, Charlie Manson wrote him a letter about like, you know, kind of like that he loved the magazine
and
wanted to talk like rock and roll with my dad.
Wow.
Which is so crazy. And now my brother, who is like, you know, obsessed with stuff like this, like everybody does. He has it framed in his house.
Well, the physical letter. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right, because there wouldn't have been email.
No.
And
you just
have actual things.
Exactly.
When, like, someone wanted to talk to you,
you
could prove
to,
it.
Like,
that's amazing.
So true. Yeah, isn't that creepy?
That's really
cool. I know. It's almost like this prize, but then it's like, oh, this is a killer. Like, sometimes we get so obsessed with the OJ thing or the whatever that sometimes you have to be like, oh, wait, people died.
True.
Yes.
But also,
who cares?
Not every second of his but also, who cares?
Right.
I mean, come on. A few less people in Brentwood. Jesus. All right. Now maybe we could cut that out.
No, don't cut that out.
Don't cut that out. No, but also, it's not like Charles Manson spent every minute of every day killing.
Right.
Your dad brought out the normal side.
Yeah, that's true.
That's great. Your dad's great.
Wow, my dad's a healer.
Your dad is a healer.
Wow. He's and a hero.
Yeah. He's a hero healer.
A healing hero.
Welcome back to Healing Heroes. With Mr.
Healing Heroes with
I was
going to
say Mr. Carden, but that's actually, that's Big JJ.
Big JJ.
Yeah.
Wait, we haven't called Jason Big JJ this whole time, and you and I just called him Big JJ.
Big JJ. Simultaneously.
That was really
Big JJ.
Maybe a name just found
him. Yeah, Big JJ.
What's your dad's name?
Dennis Erickson.
Okay. Dennis Erickson, you're a healing hero.
Dennis William Mustafa Erickson.
Dennis William Mustafa Erickson.
Because you better believe we're Turkish.
Oh,
okay.
And Greek.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
And German.
And German.
So all three of them. Everyone has a name.
I just keep listing things.
Yeah.
Huh. And Hungarian.
Hungarian, I believe, is the correct pronunciation.
I guess it's not wrong exactly, but it is.
I was really into that Manson podcast, and then I also started reading a murder book about different murders. And it was like a book that my friend wrote, actually. I might have talked about it on a previous podcast. Well, it doesn't matter. I love her very much.
Laura Tillman.
My friend Laura Tillman wrote
a
murder book.
Memory.
It's not just about murder, but murder plays a large part of it. Also about like a real murder that occurred.
So it's like a nonfiction?
It's a nonfiction murder book about these people who killed their children.
Quietly pouring water.
But like the thing... So I think I just like overloaded on murders, and a couple weeks ago I like woke up in the middle of the night in a panic, like just because like the thing about the Manson murders is that so many of them were truly random. They were like crazy people, and then they just picked essentially a house at random, and then I was like, that could happen
totally.
That,
and then you start figuring out why, like then you start like thinking of your house, your apartment, like what would be so easy about, like you just kind of you make up why it's about to happen.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. And there's so many gosh, we have so many raccoons outside of our house.
Gosh, we have so many raccoons.
We have honestly so many raccoons, and they're so big that every night it sounds like someone's walking around in our backyard. Dude. So it could any... There's any given night that could not be a raccoon.
Yeah.
It could be a person.
Yeah, totally.
And or they you, could, yeah.
I'm sorry to say you might get murdered by a raccoon.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
true.
That's more likely.
Yeah. They've been getting more and more brazen.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I now, every time I come home late, because like we live in courtyard apartments and we're at the very end of the walkway.
Oh, right,
like,
right.
And so I always have my phone flashlight out and like I walk really loudly and sometimes clap.
That's smart.
Just to like try. Because like, I've been surprised by a raccoon.
That's really smart. Yeah.
No one deserves to be murdered by a raccoon. But if someone did, I'll just leave it at that. If someone did.
I just saw.
I'll say no more.
Nope, I was about to sort of lie. I was about to say I just saw. But Jason, Big JJ, I can't stop talking about him. I love him so much.
He's a great guy.
Yeah. Big JJ just saw a raccoon being murdered.
What?
And I was by a coyote.
Oh!
Oh no, Ben just lost his shit.
Oh no.
Coyotes are my sworn enemy.
Are they?
Really?
I don't know why, but they are.
They're scary.
Yeah.
They're scary.
Go on.
Well,
go
just
on.
That we have a new dog, Penny. Big ups to Penny, love her.
Big ups to Lil Pee Pee.
Lil Pee Pee. That's a great name.
And Big JJ and Lil Pee Pee.
Garden family, right?
Oh my god, I love it. She's a little bit of a skitter scat.
She
gets a little bit like freaked out by other dogs and by cats and by raccoons and squirrels. So Jason saw a coyote off in the distance, sort of, and was like, "I gotta steer her clear of that."
Yeah.
I mean, also because they're dangerous, but he didn't want her to freak out.
Yeah.
And then, so he walked her like a different way up the hill. And then when he came back down, he looked up on the hill and he saw this coyote just going to town on a raccoon.
Oh.
I know. Oh. He said it was like very ominous.
That's,
That's terrifying.
I know. Can't you just picture it?
Yeah, no, I can. And not only can I picture it, I can like kind of feel it. Like it's like a visceral thing.
Yeah.
I can taste that raccoon.
My husband, Ben Green.
Big ups to Benny Boy.
Yeah, big ups to Benny Boy. He witnessed a raccoon being shot.
Damn, dude.
Because we have an elderly lady who lives in our apartment complex.
I've heard of this lady.
She feeds the raccoons.
Yeah,
she thinks they keep the coyotes away.
Okay.
She's wild.
What is this story going to be? Because you're about to say you saw a raccoon get shot, like, in your apartment, like, area?
Yeah. So she calls us fairly frequently.
Oh, no.
And so she called Ben, and she called him, and she was like, Ben... She always starts every phone call saying, like, this
she's
is your neighbor,
she's
BRD. Yeah, she's, like, pretty lovely and kind of cool because she's, like, just, like, this old lady living by herself
in a
city. And
Hollywood,
just, like,
exactly.
Like, she's, like, I kind of love her.
And so what is her name?
I think it's Birdie, like, B-E-R-T-I-E.
Yeah.
Because she, I think I've seen it written, but she pronounces it Beauty.
Whoa.
So I we never say it confidently when we speak to her. We're
right.
always like,
baby bee.
Baby bee.
I have an Icelandic friend named Bjerta.
Yeah,
if they're a similar
name. Because I think she is. She's not from the U.S. She is like from somewhere kind of Scandinavia.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
what
it is.
That could be a Bjerta.
Just say it like that.
Yeah, say it like that.
Yeah, oh, that's perfect.
That's it.
Yeah. So she called Ben. She's like, I need your help. And it was a raccoon that had been injured.
Okay.
Kind of sitting, like, outside of, like, our, you know, in, like, the courtyard area of our apartment. And she, like, so Ben was like, okay.
Yeah, what are you
So he called animal, like, or there's, like, a, you know, some, like, the people you call when there's an injured animal.
Yeah.
And so they came and just... shot the
in
raccoon.
In front of you?
Yeah.
Holy
They came and they were
shit.
Just like, yeah. Poor Ben has also seen, he's witnessed too much.
Too many animals getting murdered?
Yeah. He, like our other neighbor, Brad, has like these two like enormous cats that are like, don't even look like they're fully cats. They're like so big.
Like mancoons or something?
Yeah. They're huge.
Love
them. Ben saw one of them got hit by a car before his eyes.
That's so awful.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah. He was visibly traumatized.
I was going to say, that's like traumatizing.
Yeah.
That's the word. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mancoon.
Yeah.
Zig just looked up what a Mancoon was.
Oh, yeah.
My brother has a Mancoon named Coco. Named Coco, but we call her Coco.
You got it. Yeah, that's you got great. It. That's great.
But oh, so, that's really awful. Anyway.
Let's go back to murder for a
yeah,
second.
Yeah, yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
I'm going
to
go.
Were you about to
go
back?
Yeah, 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 please. Yeah.
Where does murder rank on your list of ways to die? Like, is it in terms of most afraid of, would you be more afraid to have someone take your life or to have, like, something random happen?
I think, okay, wait, random meaning like a hurricane or something.
It could be a hurricane. It could be like a car accident.
Yeah, I'm definitely, that murder is 10.
A 10.
And
it's the number
yeah,
one.
I think, you know what's funny is I get very, what's the word? Like lax or like, when it comes to things like sickness or natural disasters or whatever, I think I have a little bit of like a, it's not going to happen to me.
Right.
Or like, that's going to happen to someone else, not to me. But when it comes to murder, I'm like, that going to happen to me. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's
I don't
so
know why.
Interesting.
Where I'm like, I can convince myself that that will happen. Whereas like, you know, it could be, we could have like a hurricane warning and I'm like, it will be fine.
Yeah.
Is it a distrust of people?
Yeah, for sure.
Have you ever known someone who
have
you,
ever you been murdered?
Got scared of would murder? Like, have you ever met someone and been like afraid they would murder you?
Let me think. There's like a person or two that come to mind, but it's almost more funny than anything else. I'm almost like, I could see that happening.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I don't, I like worry about even saying it. But I can't think of like one person that I was like, I could see that happening.
Yeah.
Like,
I think at first, I mean, because we're in comedy and a lot of comedians are somewhere on the spectrum, you know? Yeah. And like, you sort of feel like when you first meet somebody, you're like, oh no, that person could either turn out to be the funniest person I've ever met
or
a serial
psychopath.
Killer.
Yeah.
And then they usually turn out to be pretty funny.
Right.
But maybe they're also serial killers in the same way that like Charles Manson was just like a big music
buff. Yeah, exactly.
And also a killer of people.
Yeah. Like, that's, and also, he was probably like, I mean, you probably know.
Yeah.
Was he like very charming? And,
he was crazy charming and he was like weird.
Right.
But everybody would meet him and the reaction would be like, oh, he's this like kind of like weird cool guy who all these ladies like to hang out with. Like, he's just like, I could so much picture him and place him in any community
so
as that person who like anybody meets and goes like, oh, I mean, he's weird, but he's like seems really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think I can. I'm trying to think of like who's the last person I thought was going to murder me. I mean, we did have somebody come to the house recently that was like, I need to check your, what is it? Like a something
like
on the side of
your
house.
Gas meter or something.
And I let him in too quickly. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then like the whole time he was in there, I was like, this is the easiest way to kill
him. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
there's, you know, actually having Penny, who's kind of like a bigger dog.
Yeah.
Has put me at ease so much.
Sure.
Like the nighttime thing, we also our house is like very windowy, which is scary.
Yeah.
Not a
yeah.
lot of like blinds, and once the night falls, it's really easy for me to like freak out, especially if Big JJ ain't home.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right, now, are you on the ground level?
In a way, we're sort of like down a hill.
Okay.
So we're pretty much like out of. It would take a lot of planning to get to us.
Yeah, yeah.
But somebody did get to
somebody,
like, you know what I mean?
Kim,
that's the thing.
Yeah.
Like,
your house was not actually, this house was not broken. I feel like you told me a story about like wires and shit being left on.
It was a weird thing where it was like the house that was broken into in our, like, we live in a triplex.
Yeah.
So in one of the houses that was broken into, in one of the plexes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The person left like a wire and gloves and.
Oh.
And it's like, oof. What could that have been for? You know? I mean, that's like a murder bag, y'all.
Yeah, that is a murder bag.
So that sucks so bad.
Yeah.
And that's why that first month or so I was just like, I couldn't breathe. It was just, I was like, do we need to move?
Yeah.
We got like, you know, security. The whole place got like tons of cameras and security. But even that, I was like, they'll figure out a way to, they want to break it. You know what I mean? It's like once the night falls, I can convince myself of anything.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes. What is the scariest thing that has actually, I mean, I know your apartment, maybe it was your apartment being broken into or whatever, but like what has been the scariest
real
thing that's happened to you?
I think, well, it isn't exactly like it's not a murdery story.
That's okay.
I think it was just a really bad car accident that like should have ended in death.
What?
It
for
was,
you?
Yeah, for me.
What was that like?
It was like a high school boyfriend like late night coming home from a movie, and it was raining, and he had like this old GTO, like an old kind of muscle car.
Oh, yeah.
That he and his brothers and his dad boyfriend. Had been like, yeah, he was hella cool. Yeah. I mean, please, I dumped his ass. sure hope he's not listening to this. He has a lovely wife and daughters now. But he was, his brothers and his dad had been working on this car for like 2 years. And it was one of the first times we took it out. And he was a teenage boy and he was like sort of showing off and he like, you know, put it into some cool gear. And it like I knew it was going to happen as soon as he kind of like put it into the gear that maybe he shouldn't have or whatever, because the tires, we were on the freeway and the tires like skidded. Ooh. And we were on a, you know, like a hill.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I was so aware. We just like, we went off the hill.
Oh.
We flipped three times.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And it's like an old car with no airbags. And I was like, lucky I even plugged my seatbelt in. And then it was like you hit when we hit, there's like this when we hit the ground, I guess I should say. I think we hit a tree, but I don't even remember. Ooh. I think we did. There is that moment of this like weird silence. I don't know if you've ever been in a car accident, but I feel like every time I've been in a car accident, there's this like weird silence like right away, when you're done. And I was like, this ties into my show perfectly, because I was like, this is the afterlife. I was like, I'm dead and this is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was so, I was so aware that I had died.
Oh.
Like that silence is like eternity.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
It's just forever, it's silent.
Yes.
But when you come alive in the good or bad place.
Or bad.
And then the sound returns.
Totally.
Yeah.
It took a second for me to be like, oh my God, I'm not dead. But it really was like when I opened my eyes, which, by the way, were filled with broken glass.
Your eyes were filled with broken glass?
Filled is such a weird way to say it.
No,
this is such a weird way to say it.
You opened your eyes and just glass fell out.
That is kind of what happened.
Like, you were probably crying, right? And you're crying glass.
It was like my vision was so blurred, and I was like, what's going on? Dust or something like that. And, yeah, the tears brought – I kind of like put my fingers under my eyes and – cried, and then I pulled my fingers away, and it was all like little shards of glass.
Oh!
I know.
Were your eyes
my
okay?
My eyes were fine.
Yeah. Whoa!
16-year-old bodies, I guess, can just handle anything.
That's why Darcy wears glasses.
Yeah.
she actually had better than 20/20 vision before this accident.
If you take your glasses off, you can see that your eyes are just two holes full of glass.
They like painted the brown on them. Yeah, it was actually really easy.
We got Big Sippy. We got Big JJ. We've got Mrs. Glass.
Mrs. Glass Eye.
Mrs. Glass Eye.
So that was scary in that it was like I died. I thought I died.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I looked at him and he had hit his head on the steering wheel.
Oh.
And I looked at him to see if he was okay. And it was like out of a movie. Like his face was fine. And then all of a sudden it was like, gosh, just like blood from his eyebrows, I guess. Like he had hit his forehead or something. And he looked at me like, are you okay? And you remember like when Jude Law gets hit in the head in The Talented Mr. Ripley. Did you ever see that?
Yeah, I never
saw that, but
you
I
gotta
can imagine.
See it.
Yeah.
Definite spoiler, but
that's
he gets
okay.
hit in the head with an oar, and like a canoe oar, and it takes a second. He kind of is like, what happened? And then all of a sudden it's like, gosh.
Oh,
It was that.
Oh, my
God. And it was Jude Law. That was who I dated in high school.
And you dumped his ass.
Yeah, I dumped his ass.
Was he okay? So both of you, how were you injured?
Yeah.
Were you very injured?
I was not very injured. I had, no, I was not very injured. I was about to say I had internal bleeding, and then I remembered that was a different car accident a year before.
Oh, my gosh.
My poor little high school life was just full of car accidents.
If I could just say before we go on, when we started this, Darcy told us she had no stories. No stories whatsoever. She's
I'm healthy
had
as
two massive car accidents.
And Darcy
She's
was been, concerned yeah. she might not have anything to
talk about, you guys. That is so funny.
She's been broken into left and right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is so funny.
What was your boyfriend at the time's reaction? Because I can just imagine how guilty I would feel if I had done that.
Well, I'll add another layer onto it. He had a DUI, so he wasn't supposed to be driving. But he was like a really good kid. It was like a you know, whatever.
Everybody, he was just young.
Yeah, he was just, yeah. It wasn't like he was a bad boy, but he had a DUI, and this was like a Sunday night late. We were just like going to see. We were going to see, Good Will Hunting.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh, I can.
Starring,
yeah,
starring
I'm there.
Matt Damon, the talented Mr.
Yeah,
Ripley.
It's like that's what. That's all I care about. And if I'm being honest, he kind of looked like Matt Damon. I'm not kidding. Okay. So you can really put a face bloody face. Yeah. A name to
it. Yeah. Honestly, like I'm not trying to like minimize it. Like
no,
it sounds
please.
Like a tremendously traumatic
please.
Experience. But minimize like it. Just like everything from having like a Matt Damon boyfriend to like in a muscle car
yes.
and getting in a car accident that wasn't fatal but like looked like was
very,
tremendously
yeah, totally,
dramatic.
Totally.
Like to me that sounds like the perfect high school experience.
Oh, yeah. You basically described an episode of The OC.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Like, or like something with like what's Rebel Without a Cause's name?
Oh, James
yeah,
exactly.
Dean.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
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 Your other high school yes. boyfriend.
He's really jealous.
Yeah.
Like I would like my like so my high funny. School experience was my best friend Christian, who I was not dating, would pick me up in his family's Suburban. And then we would drive to the ice cream store where his older brother worked, and we would just eat candy yeah. while he closed up.
Just hang.
Yeah.
Eat
yeah.
sweets.
Yeah.
I
like,
mean,
nothing could. Nothing.
That's also cool.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't cool, but,
sure.
right.
but it was fun.
It was life.
Yeah.
Christian, a.k.a. Fonzie.
So, yeah, his reaction was a little, there was like a little bit of guilt. No, a lot of guilt. I remember there was like a moment of like him being like, I'm going to marry you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you not having that feeling?
No, I think I did. I think I did.
Did you say that?
Yes. I do remember
while
this
you were
like.
Still in there?
We also had that movie moment of like, get out of the car. It's going to explode. So we like got out of the car and it was rainy and the freeway was empty. So nobody stopped for us or anything. I don't even remember a car driving by. And we were like down a hill, you know? And yeah, there was this like bloody faced moment where he was like, I'm going to marry you.
Oh,
and
my
yeah,
gosh.
It was definitely like a love, a, like a romantic high school moment.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
And then we walked very far and found a payphone.
Because no cell phone.
Yes.
And Good Will Hunting
exactly.
was not in cell phone. Time.
No, that was like 99 or something
wow.
like that.
Oh, yeah.
And we called my mom, and it was the call where I was like, we're totally fine, totally fine, totally fine. A little fender bender, like I really minimized it in a way where she was like, okay. Like if I had told her, she would have been like in the car,
yeah.
you know,
oh, yeah.
like, but we called, you know, the police and, cause he was really banged up and, but we were panicking about what do we do about this DUI.
Oh.
So I think what we decided was, in the moment, we were like, let's say I was driving.
Oh, yeah.
Which,
yeah.
like, that, I mean, that's like a big lie.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
A big lie.
And so we were like, and I was like, yes, totally, totally. And then the cop, like, immediately saw through that. And
oh.
and Chris, being the good boy that he was, immediately was like, and I have to tell you, I have a DUI. And the cop was like, don't worry about it.
Oh.
Isn't that crazy?
That's
yeah.
crazy.
I know. That's privilege, baby.
Yeah.
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 A bloody Matt Damon white
yeah,
guy.
Exactly.
Nobody cares
exactly.
about his DUI.
He's just like,
yeah.
he's like, don't mention it. And
yeah.
Yeah. We're like, okay.
Yeah.
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 Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So that was, and then he had like a little bit of, I think, plastic surgery. Like
wow.
you know, because it was such a banged up, it. Yeah, that was, that I mean, plastic surgery, I guess that's a weird way of saying
like
it, but like, yeah, a plastic
yeah.
surgeon like did the, it wasn't just like a stitch up. It yeah. was like some reconstructive shit.
Wow.
You know what? It's fine.
Yeah.
How long after that did you guys stay together?
Oh, 10 years.
Really?
Well, yeah, almost. Almost.
Oh,
almost.
My goodness.
Wait, let me think. That was like, I mean, actually, we were together for about 10 years.
Wow.
And that was early on. I guess we stayed together for like 7 years.
I was not
years.
Expecting that.
I know.
I thought you were, I assumed it would be like
there,
that there's that connection that we experience with other people through tragedy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That it sort of seems to dissolve and then you kind of don't want to see them
yes,
anymore.
Totally.
Like they just remind you of the time when you cried glass.
yeah. It's like your camp friend, but your tragedy.
Yeah, 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 totally, totally.
Which, you know, if you base it exclusively on movies, most camps are pretty tragic.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. There's always some murder,
murder
or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, yeah. We stayed together for a long time. I guess not. You know, it was 10 years in all. But
yeah,
or was it 9? Who can
but
remember?
But still, that's
time.
A long,
really
long
time.
A long time.
And how long have you been with JJ?
20 years. No, I'm just kidding. but we've been together for like 10 years.
Yeah,
so,
wow.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I think that I started dating Chris when I was like 15 and then we broke up around 25 and then I immediately started dating Jay.
This is the entirety of your dating life.
Good little baby girl that's only dated two boys. Yeah,
but you know, I mean, one of them really worked out great.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The other one really didn't work out.
No, it didn't. Yeah, hold on. But it was, he was like, you know, sorry for table noise. He was lovely. We just, you know,
yeah.
I don't even really have anything bad to say about him other than we just weren't. It's crazy to have been with somebody for almost a decade and then say like we weren't a good fit.
Yeah.
No. But it was just like when you're with somebody when you're 15. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm saying this. My parents were high school sweethearts and they're solid as a damn rock.
Sure.
But, you know, I think that's pretty rare. A lot of times it's like you grow and you turn into different people.
Do you think a part of you even like stay – like I feel like seeing parents who are high school sweethearts did part of – did having that maybe
make
you –
I should also say his parents were high school sweethearts. So, yes, we very much was like this is our path.
This is what we do.
For sure.
So he's like, I'm going to marry you just like our parents.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I guess that's what we do.
Yeah. Yeah, that is what you
do. Do you think experiencing such a scary thing early on – prolonged your relationship?
I do. I mean, I wonder if, I think we also, I'm just going to like tell awful stories. There was also a couple other like high school tragedies, like
really?
A really awful fight that like broke out at a birthday party of mine that ended in like some major hospital situations.
Can you go into more detail?
I can. It's pretty rough.
Yeah.
I'll make it like less rough.
You don't have to.
No, I will.
Okay.
You can let it all hang out.
Yeah.
Did you guys want to
play
like,
by ear?
Yeah.
We'll see. Start it and then
I'll also ask, am I talking too much? Because
I haven't.
This is your
the whole point.
No, like that we asked you here to talk. We'll pepper in stories every once in a while.
Yeah. You really didn't have much to say. I really like that.
Oh my God.
It's like when it's just have a couple of your friends. I guess I am hungry.
Yeah. I don't need to order anything.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, that
you
is
have a lot.
And that also is me. I'm a piece of shit.
You like to set expectations low.
Really low. Yeah,
really
exactly.
So
my 17th birthday, that's right? Maybe 16th? I think it was 17th. I had a very, very innocent birthday party with my parents were there, my sisters, my brother, and then a bunch of like friends. Mm-hmm. And it was like a pizza and video games birthday party. It wasn't like a druggy, drinky, sexy birthday party at all.
Can I ask you real quickly, where are you from?
The Bay Area.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Where are you from?
Detroit. Mm-hmm. New Jersey. Detroit, Bay Area.
Cool.
Zach, where are you from?
North Carolina.
Oh, great.
Yeah. North Carolina.
We all love North Carolina.
Wow. Yeah. We have everything.
Yeah. Okay,
that's
sorry.
Everything.
That's
sorry
everything.
Sorry
that's everything.
That's okay. And we basically like it was, like I said, a very innocent, just kind of chill birthday party with like cake and stuff. And then these boys from a neighboring high school, an all boys high school, came to the front door.
You knew them?
We knew them. Yeah, I knew them. They weren't like great friends at all. They were just kind of like you met them at parties and, you know, we just kind of knew them. And this particular high school was like a little bit, had a bit of a reputation for, they had like the number one football school in the fucking world or whatever. And like, you know, there was kind of like a lot of privilege, I guess. A lot of like boys getting away with a lot of things. Mm. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And because they were all these like rock star like athletes, you know?
Yeah.
So they came to the house looking for an ex-boyfriend of mine. Now, I did just say that I had two boyfriends, but I did it a little bit, like, before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just in high school. Like, some random, you know, whatevers. Trevor Diley, big ups. Dan Macias, hello. and so they were looking for one of the boys that I had dated before, who was not there. And we were just like, you know, he's not here. But it was very clear that they were, like, looking for something. It wasn't like an innocent, like, hey, is Trevor here? They were just like, we're looking for Trevor Diley. And it was
your parents were there. Like, yeah. That's
and it was, they didn't come to the door. They came to like the driveway.
Okay.
And so a couple of the boys from the party went down to be like, that guy's not here. This is just her parents are here. Like, this isn't a party.
Yeah.
And it like immediately turned into like a brawl.
What?
And it lasted for so long. It was like maybe 20 on 20. It was like a ton of – it's hard. We lived on like a cul-de-sac and it was like all over. It was like on the lawn and on the driveway and on the side yard. And it was like – oh, gosh, I keep hitting the microphone.
It's okay.
And it was like – it wasn't an innocent little like high school fight.
Yeah.
It was like – the way it – the worst of it was a guy took a brick and started like bashing the guy's head. Yeah.
Oh.
And that was like, this guy is about to die. A dear friend. He did not die. But he, I mean.
Is he okay?
He's okay.
Is his brain?
His brain's okay. His,
like
just
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
no,
it's
I mean,
not great.
Like, I feel like, no, he's totally.
Okay, good.
He's totally great, as in like he has a great life. He has a great wife and kids and he's like a teacher and he's doing great. But it was not a quick recovery. It was not just like a month or whatever.
Yeah.
It was like, it took a long time.
Holy
and,
shit.
You know, it was like, I think at least a year of like court stuff. Court.
Yeah. Where,
like,
that you were involved
yes,
in?
Yeah. And my dad recalls like calling 911 and being like, we need an ambulance here now. And they were like, what's going on, sir? And he said something like, there is a bloodbath on my front yard. And the woman was like, please don't exaggerate. And he was like, we need you here now. I mean, this is getting like so dramatic, but I have such a memory of my mom sitting on our front step with this dear friend, Matt, in her arms, just like blood, like bleeding everywhere. She's like holding his head together.
Oh,
why am I telling this story?
Because it's our
podcast. Yeah. It was really.
Why did we start this podcast?
I know. It was so awful. And there was like a lot of people were injured. But this was the one that was like my mom crying, holding my friend, holding his head together, and just looking at it and being like, he's about to die in my mom's arms, which luckily didn't happen.
No.
But though, do I tell this part? The weirdest part of it that is like a weird fucked up part of my brain. No, I won't say that.
Oh.
But the guy who did the brick died later.
Like
of an overdose.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I wouldn't even say, not like a suicide, but like he kind of was like a fucked up, like had a hard time. And, you know, it was like a interesting, like he was he became like a villain to me. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
He was like a bad villain in my life.
Yeah.
And then when I heard that, it was this weird kind of like, I don't know. I certainly wasn't like glad.
No,
I don't mean that,
sure,
but
no.
It was this weird sort of, I don't know, closure. I don't know what it was, but
no,
it was.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
He is the villain in this
story.
Exactly. It's just a narrative.
Right.
And this is the guy who was hitting a friend of yours.
Yes.
But regardless of even the friendship, the guy who's hitting another guy with a brick is the villain in the story.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Whatever the story. Yeah.
Because you can't even imagine a story where that's how you would go about saving your protagonist or whatever. You don't hit him with a brick. Brick hitter is a bad guy.
Brick hitter is like blood in the eyes, like seeing red. It was just like he wanted to fuck somebody up.
Yeah.
That was really what it seemed, is like these guys wanted to, they didn't care who it was. It was like they were going to find a fight. It was really awful. And so anyway, Chris was there, and he also, it was a weird thing because boys are weird, where it was like some of the boys fought and some of the boys didn't fight, and then that became like a power, like later on, at school, it was like, that guy didn't even fight. It was just all, you know.
Oh, that's so.
Yeah, it was so interesting.
Yikes.
That's so
And kind
crazy.
Of guys taking more, like, oh, well, I fought this guy and this. It was just this weird high school, like, macho.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really.
And only the boys fought.
Yeah, only the boys fought. I'm trying to think like what I even did. I just watched it all. It like happened in front of my eyes.
I mean, it's a train wreck. How do you turn away? And at the same time, you're not going to engage.
Totally.
But
I was like seeing it all, just to like take in like the whole front yard and be like, it was wild.
Oh, I keep forgetting that it was your birthday.
poor birthday.
Oh my God.
I know. Poor me. God. Poor me.
I know. Your birthday.
I know. So there was. So that was another kind of like Chris and I think. I can't believe I'm talking about Chris. This is so funny. Like between the you know, a couple things like that, and then like going to college together, we had this like past of like we've been through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do think that probably kept us together a little.
Yeah.
Longer.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, where'd you go to college?
We went to Southern Oregon University.
So you traveled together to go to college.
Yeah.
So he was like your guy.
He was
like,
you
moved
totally
together.
Didn't
and
know anybody
together.
Else there. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend going to college with a boyfriend though. For any of our young listeners.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Guys, I don't even recommend going to college.
Yeah. college for sure.
Yeah.
You've had. Maybe the reason you're not more of a hypochondriac is because you've had some, like, several genuinely traumatic experiences.
I wonder if that has anything to do with it.
So we're checking for
Amber
your
alert.
Meter.
Amber, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And yeah, and then the simplest, quickest little, like, I said I had internal bleeding.
Yeah.
This is, like, almost funny. My sister and a bunch of her friends and I were going to an REM concert.
Uh-huh. Nice.
In a bunch of minivans.
Uh-huh.
And we got into a huge, like, 5-car pileup on the freeway.
What?
And the only person that got hurt was me.
Really?
I had, like, my seatbelt gave me internal bleeding and I had to go to the hospital overnight.
Oh, my gosh.
And then listen to this, guys.
Yeah.
The guy, what are they called? The paramedic that was like doing me up, putting the IV in, told me it was his first day on the job.
No.
He was sweating bullets. Uh-uh. He was terrified.
Uh-uh.
He's supposed to cut all my clothes off. That's like what they do, right? With these scissors, you're supposed to cut your clothes off. His hands were shaking. I was wearing a pair of jeans from a friend of mine, so I was like, please, sir, don't cut my jeans off, these are my friends. And he was like okay. So he didn't cut my jeans off.
He said okay.
Yeah, he put the IV in with like shaky hands, and then the reason that I had to stay longer in the hospital is because he didn't put it into a vein, so my arm filled up with fluid.
No!
Oh my god.
Like to twice its size. So much so that if I lifted my arm, my armpit had like a grapefruit of like liquid in it. And it was all this damn idiot's fault.
He didn't notice sooner. Yeah. He was like, I guess this is what's supposed to happen.
I was like bragging to one of the nurses that I played water polo, and I said something about like feel my muscles. And the nurse felt my muscles and he was like, God, it's solid as a rock. And I was like, well, thanks. And then he was like, no, this is like not right. And it was full of liquid. So anyway,
this isn't that usual water polo bubbles. That's crazy. So you've never come even close to being murdered, but you've almost died in like a million
other
ways.
Yeah.
And you're not afraid. No wonder you're not afraid of those
of
things.
You're
invincible.
I'm invincible.
You really are.
I wonder if were you afraid of someone murdering you in your car before that crazy fight?
I wasn't. That was after.
That's like, I don't know. I feel like if I saw people behaving in such senseless and violent ways, it would make me like, I mean, this is like absolutely not the same at all. But like, when I was on my year on the Lucille Ballers, when we
to
were
the people at home, that's a basketball
team. It's a great
basketball
team.
I miss you being on that. You are good. Yeah. You are a good basketball player.
That's such a compliment because I was really.
We all were. Yeah, we all were insecure that first year. Yeah. But if you like, you know, if you had. You know, well, I don't remember why you stopped playing, but you're basketball.
I was like, felt a little too busy and also not good enough at basketball.
And also, it's terrifying.
It's very scary.
It's very injury prone, and we're actors, and that's
and
like.
And everybody kept getting injured.
Yeah.
Like, not on our team, but I feel like the other teams do like horrible injuries.
Totally, like surgery
every
and stuff.
Time.
Like jewelry related. Like, remember when Fran took necklace in the forehead?
Blood everywhere. Yeah.
Anyway.
So, but anyway, this is like not even worth a whole long story. But
so
when that time, like, we were all practicing at that park near the Target and my purse got stolen. And then, like, we had this, like, crazy experience of just while we were filing the police report, there was a shooting at the police station.
I forgot that was you.
Yeah.
God.
And just like knowing, I remember like, just in the weeks after, like a slight shift in my view of the world where like I just like trusted strangers a lot less. Mostly the shooting was weirdly less like stuck with me less than just these punk kids who are pretending to help me with basketball. And then stole my shit. Like, I mean, I'm just like too trusting. I think for something as little as that to sort of shift the way that I see the world. I can't imagine how seeing an all-out, like, Lord of the Flies style battle.
Right.
Like, I feel like that would fuck with you.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're totally right. That's such an interesting thing. And also, I think that things that happen, I've been realizing this the more, like, the deeper I get into my 30s, maybe I'm more aware of this. But, like, things that happen to me or around me or whatever in my teen years, I've really, I'm making a motion that is like packing something into a
pushed it down.
That's the word. Yes,
tamp it down, girl.
Tamp it down. I've really stuffed things down where then I'm like, oh yeah, there was a bloodbath on my front yard, and I'm like, God, did I ever really like unpack that?
Yeah.
Did
yeah.
I really like oh. deal with that? I don't know.
Did you? Did you like do yeah, like you did you go to therapy and stuff? Like,
I guess a little bit. Yeah. But it was also it was just a weird time because I feel like it turned us all into these like mini celebrities in town too. It was like all weird. It got a little gross. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It's so interesting.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay. So, so Darcy, so you, so The Good Place is about, what happens when you die.
Right. Right.
It's about, I mean, you can, do you want to like
sure.
quickly summarize?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If somebody hasn't seen it?
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, do check it out.
Please.
But Kristen Bell plays, Eleanor who like awakens in The Good Place, meaning she's dead and she's in like, what is the, does, what does ostensibly mean? Is that a word?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it more means, or like, less.
Yeah. More or less.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it again, but more or less she wakes up in heaven, although it's not like a religious heaven, right?
Yeah.
It's just the good place. And long story short, oh, I'm really good at log lines. She, she's not.
Long story short should always be in a log line.
She,
this will be 30 minutes, yes. but here is long.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That should actually.
Yeah.
She realizes quickly that she's like, they've made a clerical error. I should say Ted Danson made a clerical error, and she's not supposed to be there. But it is – it's a fun, like, look at what, you know, somebody's version of heaven or like, the afterlife would look like. It's basically – it's supposed to be, like, your perfect paradise. Like, everything that you – particularly you would love is in The Good Place.
The Good Place.
So, do you believe in an afterlife?
Oh, God, I wish I did.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
I want to, but the truth is I don't. But, man, prove me wrong.
That's a call to murderers out there. Any murderers tuning into Mississippi, you got a challenge.
Because it's true. Like, if you get, like, according to all that lore, if you were to get murdered, you would go to heaven automatically, right?
Isn't that the true?
Thing? I think isn't that a heaven thing?
No, I don't know.
But what if you were a bad boy on Earth?
I think if you're a bad boy on Earth,
you go to.
I think you still go to hell.
Okay,
right?
But if you were like, you mean you get like extra points for getting murdered,
so.
Basically,
in the same way that like if you were a really good person but you kill yourself, then you automatically
go
to hell.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. I believe that.
I think murder gets you to heaven.
I
don't know if that's true.
I don't think that's true.
Let's go with it.
Bad guys sometimes get murdered in fights, and I think they still go.
But I don't think that's a murder.
Oh, it's like a fighting death.
But what if you're like a bad guy, a really bad guy? You murdered somebody yourself. You're in jail, and you get shivved to death.
Oh, then you go to an even better heaven. I'm going to tell you about it, guys. Huh. I'm going to make this short story long.
So, in honor of a show that is about what happens after you die spiritually, do you want to play a little game, a quiz mm-hmm. game about
do.
What happens to your body when you die?
Okay.
Yay. Here's a little game I like to call Afterlife.
Okay.
More like After Death.
Oh, great. That's great. I spoke over it. So why don't you do that one more time?
Okay.
Yeah,
but
it
don't
really
edit this.
Deserved,
don't edit.
Yeah, it really deserved to have full attention.
I'm going to give it some like music too.
Okay. Afterlife, more like after death.
Boom!
Yo, great. Okay. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Afterlife, more like after death. It's a simple quiz game where nobody can win because you're working together.
Right.
We're going to ask
Or you
questions.
Could say everybody could win.
Everybody can win. I'll ask some questions about what happens to your body after you die.
Okay.
And we'll see how much you guys know about corpses.
Cool.
Yep. Corpses. Our decomposing bodies go to heaven.
What a scary heaven. Has anybody made a zombie movie?
In heaven?
That's a great idea.
Right?
Get out there.
Get on that.
Yeah.
Just go to heaven and it's just zombies because everybody goes to heaven, but nobody knows.
But everybody's really nice.
Yeah.
It's like nice zombies
it's
in heaven.
It's nice, but everybody's like disgusting.
That's so funny. Like your body actually rots in heaven.
Yeah. Hey, if you got a pitch for a rotting corpse heaven movie, throw it to us on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. Called
hashtag
rotten heaven.
Yeah.
Rotten
heaven. Whoa, that's great. Hashtag rotten heaven.
Actually, that's a great name for my movie.
Actually, Zig, edit all this out because I don't want anyone knowing about this. Yeah. You have to take this straight to the top.
Rotten heaven. It's a great idea, right, Zig?
Perfect idea. So, do you have final draft on that computer? We might just need to shut this down.
What if it was called R.I.P. Rot in Peace? No, I like heaven better.
Rot in, that both of those are good.
Yeah.
Either hashtag rot in peace or rot in heaven. Yeah, let us know.
Let us know what you like more.
What do you got?
Speaking of rotting,
okay.
Question one: how long So after you this is assuming you have not been cremated.
Okay.
So you're dead, your body's in the ground.
In the ground.
How long will it take for your body to turn into just a cool skeleton?
Okay. Cool skeleton.
I mean, I will say I have no idea, so I'm like excited to find out.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. This is much more fun if you have no idea.
I would say I don't have any idea either.
Okay. Oh, multiple choice. Okay, great.
So it'll get a little easier. A, 4 years. B, 4 months. C, 4 weeks. Or D, 4 days.
I'm going to go with 4 years.
Yeah. 4 years seems right to me. The other ones seem very fast.
So fast,
for turning into like
just a full skeleton, like a Halloween decoration skeleton.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and not just a full skeleton, but you've also told us that the skeleton's cool.
Oh, that's
and so,
true.
Like, so it's going to need some time to like kind of like
adjust,
find itself,
exactly.
Figure out its game.
Because I was thinking 2 years, and then I was like, no, that's going to take a couple more years to get cool.
Definitely. Two years to become a skeleton, 4 years to become a cool skeleton. We're going 4 years.
Okay. The correct answer is 4 months.
What? Okay, I have another question. Is this a body, and I don't know if this even makes a difference, a body put straight in the ground or a body put in a casket in the ground?
You know what? I was curious about that.
I wonder
also,
if that would be different. It would, right?
It would have to be formaldehyde and everything.
Oh, right, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we're talking body
we're
in the ground.
We're talking body in the ground. Yeah, body. Ugh. If your body is kept at 50 degrees Fahrenheit, which is not even that warm.
No. Mm-hmm.
So maybe that is a body in the ground because I can't speak to any preservatives in the body, but like I bet underground it's about 50 degrees, right?
Yeah, sure.
Take 4 months.
Okay, 4 months. Okay, that's scary.
Yeah. So this is a little – this may be easier because we're kind of talking about decomposing.
Okay.
But how much of your body can maggots digest within a week?
Oh.
Okay.
We have A, 100%.
Within a week. Okay.
B, 60%. C, 10%. Okay. Or D, 4%.
I mean, I feel like maybe that word digest matters.
I know.
You know?
Mm. Right.
Hmm. What's your gut?
My gut is going... I was thinking, wait, what was the one between 10 and 60?
There is none between 10 and 60.
I should warn you that I have a hard time
with
listening
maggots?
To the question.
I know.
It's long been a problem, but I'm trying a lot harder this
time.
Yeah,
I know. You did a great job on question one.
I want to say...
Thank you.
Okay, if a body can turn into a skeleton in 4 weeks...
Four months.
Okay, yeah. okay. Then I'm going to say 10% in a week.
We'll go with 10%.
The correct answer is
60%. Damn, dude.
Oh God.
Those maggots be working.
Earth, like, gets shit done.
Yes.
But I guess it kind of makes sense because, like, I feel like when you think about, like, old time, like, in medieval times, and shit, I feel like people would just, like, drop dead.
Yeah, that's
and then they wouldn't be there for, like,
a super long
time. I guess, like, you get eaten pretty fast.
Yeah, maggots are desperate to eat.
But then, like, turned into whatever... Whatever happens when maggots like poop it out? Like,
oh yeah, what's that?
That
flowers?
Like, that would be basically that would be it, right? Like
that's
it would turn into the earth.
Beautiful.
All right. I feel better about 60%. Thank you, Darcy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Darcy has found a way to turn this disgusting quiz into just a shining light, more warmth.
Okay. Here's a question.
Okay.
What is like the first color you will probably turn after you die?
I have a guess before you even say it.
Oh, you want to say?
Gray. Oh, you're about to say blue.
Yeah, I was going to say blue.
Okay. A, blue.
Okay.
B, purple. C, red. Or D, white.
Maybe it's white.
White is close to gray. I feel like all the color would leave.
Yeah, should we say white? Because
but blue is like maybe the blood comes to the skin or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, like the – because like blue is the – blue is like a color of blood, right? Like
inside of us.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. Mm-hmm. Didn't that fuck you up when you were a little kid when they were like, inside your body, blood is blue?
Oh,
yeah.
You're like,
I forgot
what?
That.
And then
until
it's like,
you
as soon
just
as it
said
hits
it.
The air, it turns red. I remember being like, I'll never understand science.
I'll never, because they should stop making pictures of people and make their blood look red inside of them.
Stop, people.
Very true. And,
stop.
And on that subject, Madeline's in a really funny video about a red period blood.
Oh, period blood.
That's
a
super funny video. Was that a UCB video?
It was a UCB video.
Check it out.
Emily Towers wrote and directed it. It was
that's
really
a great
funny.
Video. Yeah. Great video.
We'll
great
throw bit. The link on Twitter.
Yeah, we'll throw it on Twitter.
Thank you. Thank you, Darcy.
Darcy, you've been just a real help.
Yeah.
You're a joy to be around and a real help.
This has been really helpful.
Okay, so we're going to say, I think we're between either white and blue.
Yeah, I know.
Let's go with white.
Okay,
let's go with white.
The answer is white.
You're kind of right.
Okay.
but purple is also right.
Okay.
Oh, what and do you I'll mean? Explain. So it's kind of fun. So the first thing that happens after you die is your heart stops.
Okay.
So it stops. So your blood is no longer moving through your body.
Right.
And so instead it pools.
Oh, yeah.
And so depending on where, so like basically if you're lying on your back, the bottom half of your body will turn purple because your blood is pooling in your body.
But all
the top half will turn
kind of
pale or what, you know, it's probably depending on what color your skin is. Right. It will become paler.
That is gross.
It's gross, right?
Yeah, that's gross.
And it's crazy. It's like, to me, learning that fact weirdly made death feel very like a very tangible thing.
Because yeah, I don't know what, because like things are happening still or something like that. Yeah.
And that just like you're the thing that makes you alive is like shit's moving inside you,
and it's like,
and then it stops.
Yeah. Well, immediately.
Yes.
When you think about it, when we talk about death, we're really more frequently talking about the soul, you know?
Yeah.
And so like there is there's a very palpable quality to death through this quiz, like just this, these are the things that like physically happen to, like we're talking about our corpses right now. We don't spend a lot of time talking about the corpse.
No, after you die, your body. Yeah, exactly.
What happens to your corpse? We know what happens to your corpse after you die. We're not exactly sure if you go to the good place.
Right. Yeah. But you got. You have to finish the season to find out.
Yeah, that's true.
Keep watching.
Yeah, I do keep
Thursdays
watching.
Thursdays at
8:30. NBC. Ding, ding, ding.
Wow. We're really on the same
page.
Are.
One more of these.
Yeah. What a joy this is. Guys, what is algor mortis? Algor mortis. Is it A, the process of your body exploding after death?
Eek.
B, the process of your body temperature lowering to room temp after death? C, the process of peeing or pooping after death. Or D, the process of expelling air in a way that makes it sound like you're moaning after death.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Huh. I was really expecting like a red herring Al Gore.
Yeah, me too. No. There was no Al Gore.
Yeah,
joke.
No.
Yeah. Either whatever it is, I'd be bummed if I was Al Gore.
Yeah. This is not a good. Yeah. This is like if, like it's not like Lou Gehrig's disease where like you get sick and then they name one after you. Yeah. His name is just Al Gore and this thing is called Al Gore. Yeah.
And it's either like you shit yourself or you moan
You like it just explode or something.
God, I don't know. I mean, algor mortis. So rigor mortis means when you get
stiff.
So I mean, just for fun, I'm going to say explode.
Okay.
I'll stick with explode.
Okay, great. You're not going to ruin Darcy's fun.
No.
It's like, I mean, that's probably not it though, right?
It feels like.
What is explode?
Okay.
Is explode?
So it's not.
Explode.
So it's not when your body explodes after death, but.
It's got to be a limp thing.
But a body can explode after death.
Okay. And that's because called George like Bush mortis.
Yeah.
Gas. The gas.
Save it for 12 years ago.
I know.
So somebody has, like, people have exploded after death because, like, a lot of, like, gases are, like, there are a lot of chemical reactions going on in your body. Mm. Like, and so if there's no way for that gas to come out of your body, then you, a dead body could.
How is there not
explode.
A 6 Feet Under episode about a body exploding, like in the morgue or whatever?
Oh, there really should be.
Yeah.
Get it together, Michael C. Hall, who probably wrote every
episode. I'm sure he wrote, directed, and created that before he wrote, directed, and created Dexter. You can also pee or poop after death. That's also a thing that can happen. Oh, it's all kind of related to this gas being things are expelled from your body. And you can also expel air and like because all gas in your body is just trying to get out. Right. So someone could be
like moan. It goes through your
your vocal cords.
That's so cute.
And your vocal cords. And because of rigor mortis, your vocal cords and your muscles are contracting, which also can make you pee, poop, or moan.
So is algor for moaning?
But algor mortis is the process of your body temperature lowering to room temp after death.
Boring.
It's the most boring one.
The most boring one.
Most boring one.
Which actually works for Al Gore.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Al Gore will make you pee, poop, or moan. Just a little song for the folks out at home.
That we're waiting for.
That's really, yeah.
I was waiting for a song about algor mortis. Al Gore.
Got Big Sippy on the mic.
Big Sippy on the mic.
Big Sippy on vocals.
Okay, so last question. What's a fun beauty benefit of death?
Okay.
A, your wrinkles go away. B, you lose 6 pounds. C, your eyes turn blue. Or D, your hair and nails keep growing.
Well, I do know your hair and nails keep growing, or at least your nails do.
I don't think you lose 6 pounds because didn't we hear that thing that like your soul weighs 21 ounces or whatever? So you lose 21 ounces.
Big ups to Sean Penn and Nate. I think that was a good movie, right?
I never watched it.
I feel like I was very
grams. 21
grams.
Ounces? Grams.
Yeah. Right.
Oh right. Yeah. Yes. 21 grams.
21 ounces is like a couple. It's almost. It's like a pound and a half.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's like a good size soda.
Yeah. Great size soda.
Can I have a pound of Coke or a pound of Pepsi, please?
Oh my God, that'd be. Yeah. Wait, why did you switch it from Coke?
Because a pound of Coke sounds too much like it's because you could get a pound of cocaine. If I were to initiate in an improv scene, I
somebody
would
could have taken
Pepsi.
It wrong.
Yeah.
I'll have but a soul's worth of Pepsi.
I remember being really into the idea of that movie, like fascinated that your soul maybe weighs whatever grams, 20 grams. But I think you're okay. What were you going to say?
I forgot all of them except
for
wrinkles.
So we got blue eyes.
Blue eyes. It turns your eyes blue?
I don't think that's true.
Let's rule that one out.
Wrinkles be gone? Nah.
Okay.
Right? Because don't you think they get wrinklier?
Yeah.
If anything.
Yeah, okay. We'll say wrinklier, not 6 pounds. So what's the other one besides 6 pounds, blue eyes, and wrinkles?
Hair and nails grow.
I'm going with that.
I think that one. Yeah, let's go with hair and nails grow.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard that.
The only reason that I question it is that I'm not sure if Madeline would refer to that as like a beauty benefit.
Oh.
But that one, but I have heard that your nails, I know your nails and hair continue to grow after death.
Yeah.
But should
I'd
we go with that?
I'm interested to see if your eyes turn blue. Why don't you tell us the answer?
Let's say blue. Let's say the blue eyes one because I think that's what we want it to be.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And eyes turn blue.
Eyes are blue.
Boo.
Boo.
Eyes boo.
Eye boo.
Eye boo.
Eye boo.
Your eyes turn to glass. That's not correct.
Okay.
But I'm happy you chose it because that was my favorite red herring.
Answer. Oh, great one. Great one.
Creepy.
That would be like some White Walker shit.
Yeah.
And there'd be evidence I was dead.
Yeah.
Very dead eyes. I mean blue. I mean blue.
I mean blue. Blue.
Boo. Boo.
So that's not true.
Is it wrinkles?
Also, your hair and nails. Don't
they
grow?
Don't?
No.
Oh, right. Your skin recedes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Even tricking you into thinking. So that's a popular myth hair and nails keep growing after you die.
Oh, we're also playing a game of myth or math.
Yeah. I know. We myth busted that.
That's a myth.
That is
math.
So gross.
The fact of the matter is your wrinkles go away.
It is wrinkles.
Because
tell us why.
The muscles in your face cease to contract.
Okay.
And I guess that's what's giving us our wrinkles. Yeah.
Let's stop contracting our
wrinkles. Right? Yeah. I know. I was like trying to make my face really relaxed.
Sorry.
To see if I could make my wrinkles going.
Yeah.
I see no wrinkles.
Wait. Yeah, let me relax my face completely.
Okay, ready?
Okay, yeah.
Wow.
Madeline, you wouldn't know how to chill out if you tried.
That is not a fun fact, but a fact nonetheless.
No, it's a...
Is that a real fact? Yeah.
I guess death is just chill.
Yeah, death is chill. Wow.
I took a bunch of... Once I got my eyebrows done, and I thought they really made the money even, but I couldn't tell, like... Because I was like, maybe I'm just like putting my face.
Adjusting.
Yeah, so I took a bunch of pictures of myself.
Dead face?
Yeah, dead face. Sometimes they'll like come up in my photo stream and I'm like, whoa.
When did I die?
Yeah.
Yeah, a real full dead face. When I take a Pilates class where at the end we do a Shavasana.
Corpse pose.
Yeah, and the teacher is like, you know, relax your jaw, relax your everything.
Yeah.
And I am like, I'm embarrassed to do it. It's such an ugly look to like relax.
Yeah.
So I sometimes pull the top of my shirt up over my face.
In case someone else is cheating in the Shavasana and takes a peek.
I have to do this stretch every day.
What are you doing?
To make sure you don't have meningitis?
No, for my, because I have a pinched nerve in my shoulder. Okay. And so the thing is this.
So he's putting, so he's kind of deadening his tongue.
And then
putting his chin to his chest.
And I can't not look in the mirror at myself doing it.
It's
and
a rough then, look.
Yeah, and it takes probably like a solid hour before I don't hate myself after doing it. So it's like 30 seconds of stretching and then a solid hour of.
I'm a piece of shit.
I'm just a piece of shit.
Well, on that.
Yeah.
Darcy, thank you so much.
You're a delight.
You're a delight.
This was just a great time.
This was great.
Really great. I'm sorry so many horrible things happened to you in high school.
But I've lived to tell.
You've lived to tell.
Yeah, that's true.
You have a great attitude about
Thanks,
them.
Guys.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Do you want to say, anything you want to plug or Twitter, Instagram?
You know, if you want to do any of those social medias, it's all just Darcy Carden, simple. Even though there is an apostrophe in my name, my social media, you don't have to worry about that. It's easier.
At Darcy Carden on Instagram, at Darcy Carden on Twitter.
And, you know, check out The Good Place if you haven't yet, or if you have, keep checking it out.
Yeah.
Keep checking
it's a great
it out. Thursdays
show.
At 8:30.
And she's just great on it.
Oh, you're nice.
It's true.
You're
thank
just great
you.
On it.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Darcy.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
You can follow us on Twitter at Definitely Dying. And until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.